Stories from Oromo region in Ethiopia, collected in Addis Ababa, Asasa and Gebre Garacha in September 1997 by Elizabeth Laird, under the auspices of the Ministry of Education, the Oromo Educational Bureau and the British Council.
Ato merga debelo.
ይሄ እንግዲህ ያው በኦሮሞ ውስጥ የሚነገር ነው። በዱሮ ጊዜ ባልና ሚስት ነበሩ። እነዚህ ባልና ሚስት ሁለት ሴቶች ልጆች አሏቸው። በመሃሉ አብረው ሲኖሩ እናታቸው ትሞትባቸዋለች። አባትየው ልጆቹን ለብቻው መቀለፍ ላስቸግረው ሌላ ሚስት ማግባት ፈለገ። አሁን ሚስት ሲያፈላልግ ያገኛል። እዛን ሰዓት ምንም ነገር በቤት ውስጥ እንዲኖር አልፈልግም፣ አንተን ብቻ ነው የምፈልገው ብላ ግዴታ ታስገባዋለች። ባለቤቱ እጅ ሊያገባት ይፈለጋት ማለት ነው። እሺ ይልና ልጆቹን በእልጎታ ውስጥ ጠብቆ ሴትዮዋን ያገባታል። እሷ ከመጣች በኋላ ምን ይላታል? እዚህ ጎተራ ውስጥ የእልጎታ ውስጥ የአባቴ አምላክ ስላለ ሁልጊዜ ጠዋት ጠዋት አንድ ሁለት ሁለት እንጀራ በደንብ አድርገሽ እዛ ውስጥ እንድትይ፣ በምሳ ሰዓትም በራት ሰዓትም እንደዚሁ ይላታል። አሁን እንደዛ እያደረገች ብዙ ጊዜ ቆዩ። ከለታት አንድ ቀን ግን ጸጉሯን ልትሰራ ጎረቤት ትሄዳለች። ልክ ጎረቤቷ ጋር እንደሄደች አሁን ጸጉሯን ስትሰራ ቸኩላለሁ፣ ቶሎ ብይ እባክሽ ቸኩላለሁ ሳትደረሰብኝ ትላታለች ጸጉር ሰሪዋ። ምን ነው ምን አስቸኩለሽ? ባለቤቴ የአባቴ ውቃቢ እዚህ እዛ ጎተራ ውስጥ አለ ስላለ ሰዓቱ ስለደረሰ ለዛ ትብዬ ሰጣለሁ ትላታለች። ያቺ ጸጉር ሰሪ ደግሞ አይ ውሸቱን ነው፣ ልጆቹን ነው እዛ ውስጥ ያስቀመጠው እና አይምሰልሽ ትላታለች። አሁን ተናዳ ወዲያው ቤት ሄድና ውሃ አፍልታ በዛ ልጎትራ ውስጥ የፈላ ውሃ ትጨምርበታለች። በአጋጣሚ ልጆቹ ሸሹና ይቀራሉ ሳይቀቀሉ። አሁን እዛ ውስጥ ያ ጎተራው የያዘው አተር ስለነበረ ያ የፈላው ውሃ ያንን አተር ያርሰዋል። ልጆቹ አባታቸው እስኪመጣ ያንን አተር እየቆረጣጠሙ ይቆያሉ። ልክ አባታቸው እንደመጣ አሁን ልጆችን ከምታደርስበት አድርስ ትላቸዋለች። አሁን ልጆቹን እሺ ይልና እንግዲህ ተነቃብኝ ብሎ ልጆቹን እሺ ጭብጦ ጨብጭልኝ ልጆቼን እየሄዳሉ ብሎ ይዟቸው ይሄዳል። ሄዶ ትልቅ ጫካ ውስጥ ይደርስና ትልቁ ዋርካ ባለበት ቦታ ላይ ያርፋሉ ማታ። አሁን ልጆቹን ያስተኛና እሱም ይተኛና መሀል ይተኛል። ልጆቹ አድርጎ አሁን ሌሊት ሲሆን ልጆቹን እንቅልፍ ሲይዛቸው መካከላቸው ጉቶ ነገር ራሱን አስመስሎ ጥላቸው ይሄዳል። ልክ እኩለ ሌሊት ወደ ንጋት አቅራቢያ አውሬ ጅብ ይመጣባቸዋል። ሲጨውባቸው ይደነግጣሉ። ድሮ እንግዲህ እንዳሁኑ ስልጣኔ ሳይኖር ሰው ቆዳ ምን የሚለብስ ስለነበረ ከቆዳው እየወጨቁ እየቆረጡ ሲሰጡት ጅብ ሲነጋበት ከዛ ጥሏቸው ይሄዳል። እንግዲህ ከነዚያ ልጆች ውስጥ ደግሞ የሚገርመው አንዷ ብልጥ አንዷ መሆኑ ነች። እና አሁን ብልጥየዋ እዛ ዛፍ ዋርካው ላይ ተውጣና ወዲያ ወዲህ ስታይ የሆነ ሀብታም ሰውዬ ብዙ ከብቶች ያሉት ከብቶቹን ሲያወጣ ምስል ታያለች። ስታይ እሱ ከብቶቹን ይዞ ሲሄድ እህቷን ጅሞኗን እዚሁ ጠብቂ ብላ ትሄዳለች። ሄዳ ከሰውየው ቤት ያገኘችውን ነገር ወተትም የሚበላም ነገር ይዛ ትመጣና እዛ እየበሉ ዛፉ ላይ ያድራሉ። መጨረሻ ላይ አንድ ቀን ካልሄድኩ ትላለች ማለት ነው። ተይዝሻል ሰውዬው ምናምን ስትላት አይሄዳለሁ ብላ ትሄዳለች። ስትልካት ምኑንም ስታይ ሰውዬው ተመልሶ ይዛት እና ያስራታል ቤት ውስጥ። እንግዲህ እንደሚባለው ጭራቅ ነው ይባላል ሰውየው ጭራቅ ነው ይባላል አሁን ያቺ ልጅ አስሮ በስልጭ አርጎ እዚህ ላይ አንጠልጥሏት ይሄዳል ከሰዓት በኋላ ወደ ከብቶቹ ሲሄድ እቺ ምልጧ ልጅ አይታ ሲደክማት ሮጣ ትሄድና ስትፈልግ ታጣለች በኋላ ቀና ብላ ስታይ በስልጫ ታስራ እዛ ላይ ቁጭ ብላለች ትፈታትና በዛ ስልጫ ውስጥ ድንጋዩን ትከስና ሮጣን ይዛት ትመለሳለች አሁን ሰውየው መጥቶ ስሩ ገብቶ በእንጨት ሲነካካ ያንን ድንጋይ ድንጋዩ ሁሉ ይፈታና ሰውየው ልብ ላይ ይገለዋል ጠዋት በነጋታው እንደሚያደርስ ሲታይ ከብታ ይወጣም ከበረት ሰውየው አይነሳም ምን አይልም በኋላ ቀስ ብላ ስትሄድ ሰውየው ሞቷል ሰውየው ሞቱን ስታረጋግጥ ሰውየውን ወደ ሌላ ቦታ ወስደው ይቀብሩትና እነሱ ቤቱን ይወርሳሉ ይዛ ሰውየው ተወርሶ ይኖራሉ በኋላ አንድ ቀን ውሃ ሊያመጡ ወንዝ ሲሄዱ እንግዲህ ብልጧ ነች ውሃ የምታመጣ ሁሉም ነገር የምታከናውን አንድ ቀን ያቺ ሞኛ አሁን ወንዝ ሄዳ ካላመጣ ውሃ ትላለች ካልቀዳሁ እሺ ሂጂ ሂጂ በኋላ ወንዶች ያገኟትና እዛ አሁን ልክ ቤትሽ እስክደርሺ ድረስ ቅጠል በመንገዱ ጠብ ጠብ እያደረግሽ ሂጂ ይሏታል በኋላ ያንን መንገድ ተከትለው ያንን ምልክት ተከትለው ቤት ይመጣሉ አሁን ሁለቱ ወንዶች የሁለቱ ሴቶች ባል ይሆናሉ እዛ ማለት ነው በአጋጣሚ ደግሞ ግንኙነቱም ሰውየውም የሞኛ እንደ ሞኛ አይነት ነው የብግቱ ብልጥ አይነት ሆነ መጨረሻ ላይ ተጋብተው ልጅ ሲወልዱ ይቺም ይቺም ወለዱ አሁን ይቺ ሞኛ አሁን የዚች ልጅ ስታጥቢያት ውሃ ሞቅ አድርገሽ ጠቢያት ብላ ለእህቷ ትነግራታለች ለሞኛ ያቺ ደግሞ ፍልጥ ታደርግና ያን ልጅ ትቀቅላለች ትገላለች አሁን እህትየዋ ተናዳ እንደው እናንተ ሁሉ ጊዜ ታናድዱኛላችሁ እናንተ ታያይዛችሁ ጥፉ ትላቸዋለች ስድብ ነው ሞኞች ስለሆኑ ተያይዘው እነሱ ልክ ብሎ ይጠፋሉ እነዚህ ቀሪዎቹ በሰላም አብረው ኖሩ ይባላል ትንሽ ረዘም ያለም ነው ከዚህ በኋላ እዚሁ ድረስ ባቆም ይሻላል መሰለኝ
ቀጥሎ ያለ
እሺ ሞኞቹ ይሄዱና አሁን ጭብጦ ይዘው ሲሄዱ ወንዝ ለመሻገር ሲደርሱ አሁን በያንቺ ተሻገር ይላታል ትልቅ ወንዝ ነው ሰውየው ባሏ እሷ ጭብጦ ያዘችው እሷ ነች እሷ ስትሻገር ውሃው ይዟት ሄደ አይ ጭብጦውን ብቻውን ልትበላ ነው ሄደና ድንጋይ ወረውርባታል ድንጋይ ጭንቅላቷን ሲመታ ደም ይወጣል አይ ይሄው በርበሬው ነው እየበላች ነው ይልና ዘሎ ለራሱ ይገባል እነዛ ተያይዘው ይጣላሉ እነዚህ በሰላም ይኖራሉ ይቻላል ይሄ ነው የዚህ ይዘት
This is in a way this wicked stepmother So once upon a time there were a husband and wife who had two daughters and they were living together happily Then one day the wife died. So the husband found it very difficult to rear the children. So he decided that he should remarry. And he went around choosing a bride. But then the lady he was going to marry said, I don't want any children in the house. You know, I only want to marry you. You've got to be a single man. So he really didn't know what to do. So he hid his two daughters in the greenery. And he said to her, look, in this greenery rests the soul and spirits of my father and ancestors. Therefore, three times a day, I want you to throw them food for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. So they lived like this for some time, and she used to throw in the food. Then one day she went to get her hair done to the hairdresser. And then she said, you know, hurry up, I've got to go and throw in food for my husband's ancestors. And the hairdresser said, no, you know, you must be crazy. It's his daughters who are hidden in the greenery. And actually you're feeding them. So she became very angry and she went home and she boiled this huge pot of hot water. And she poured it down the greenery to burn them. But they rushed to a side and the hot water just fell on the chickpeas. So they waited for their father, and until he came, they were eating the chickpeas, which were boiled because of hot water. Then when he came, his wife was very angry. She said, look, I want you to get rid of your daughters. I don't want to see them. I found out about your secret. So she gave them some rations, and he took the children, and he walked away, and he went to a huge forest. And there were all these big trees with the oak trees and the fig trees. And he said, okay, let's go to sleep under one of the trees. And he slept in between them. Then when they fell asleep, he got up and he put a log in between them so they could feel his body. And he left them in that big forest, and he went away. Then after some time, a hyena came. And the hyena was very hungry. But luckily, these two wear leather clothes. So they tore off small bits and gave it to the hyena to eat until it became dawn. Then the two daughters, one was clever and one was stupid. And the clever one climbed up a tree. And far away saw this huge house where a wizard was living. And he had lots of cattle and he was very rich. So whenever he took his cattle out to graze, the clever one would go into his house and steal milk and food and come and feed her sister and live in the tree. Then one day the stupid sister said, no, I must also go and steal. And she went, but because she was so slow and clumsy, the wizard came and he caught her. And he tied her up in a huge sack, you know, to the ceiling, to the rafters. And he went out. But the clever sister was hiding, she saw this. So after he went out, she came and she freed her sister. And they filled huge rocks into the sack. So in the evening when the wizard came and he poked around, all the rocks fell down and killed him. So they continued living in the house happily. But it was always the clever one who'd go out and fetch water and do things because, you know, she was fast and agile and quick. Now, one day the stupid one said, no, it's my turn, I must go and bring water. And when she went to the river, she found two men over there. And they said, look, you walk home, but you've got to drop leaves as you go along, and we'll follow the track. So they followed them home, and one of the men was stupid and the other one was clever. So the stupid one married the stupid girl, and the clever one married the clever man. So they lived together for some time, and they both had children. So one day when the clever one was going out, she told the stupid one, and look after the child, give her a bath and warm water. But the stupid one boiled the water and she put in the child, it burned to death. So the sister was so angry, you know, she insulted her. And so she said, get lost, you know, move out. So the two stupid ones took that literally, and they decided to go, and they took some rations and they left the house. And as they were walking, they reached the river. So the girl was carrying the food and she tried jumping across the rocks, but she fell down and the current took her away. When the current took her away, her husband thought she was going to eat the food by himself. So he picked up a stone and threw it at her. And when he hit her head, she started bleeding. And when all the red came into the water, he said, look, she's eating the food and the meat has come to the surface. So he jumped in and they were dead.
Gidelim. And yait zer halle. Rasun betam yemikib betam tilik ne yemil kansasatu bubalay ne yemil betam miznana yait zer halle kaza ust yemasu alak halle tiliku na hon liju wallede liju kawallede wala ane wonde liju ne wallede liju makabaw የእግዚአብሔር ልጅ ነው። የእግዚአብሔር ልጅ ካልሆነ እንግዲህ እስካሁን ትልቅ የሚባለው እግዚአብሔር ነው። የሱ ልጅ ካላጋባው በፍጹም ሌላ አላጋባው ብሎ ከዘመዶቹ ከቤተሰቦቹ ጋር መካከልና ሽማግሌ እግዚአብሔር ቤት ይልካል። አሁን ሽማግሌዎች ይሄዱና ደህና አደራችሁ ደህና አደራችሁ ተባብለው እንግዲህ በባህላቸው ይመካከሩና እግዚአብሔርን ልጅ አለ ለልጃችን
ይሰጣል ሴት ልጅን ለልጃችን አንድ በጣም ግሩም የሆነ የአይት ልጅ መልካም መልካም ትልቅ ይሆናልና ልጅን ስጠን ይሉታል። አይ ጥያቄያችሁ በጣም ግሩም ነው፣ በጣም ደስ የሚል ነው። ጥሩ ጥያቄ ነው ይሄ ማንም ዘንድ ያለ ነው ጥያቄያችሁ። እኔ ግን ከኔ የበለጠ እኔን የሚያስነቅ ትልቅ አለ። ስለዚህ ያንን ብትጠይቁ የበለጠ ይጠቅማቸዋል። እኔ ከዛ በመለስ ነኝ ከኔ የበለጠ ሌላ አለ ይላቸዋል። ምንድን ነው ከአንተ የበለጠ? ከአንተ የበለጠ ምንድን ነው? ከኔ የበለጠ ጉም ነው። ጉም ጠቅላላ አካሌን ስለሚሸፍን ማንነቴንም የሚከለክል ስለሚችል የእሱ ልጅ ጠይቁ ይላቸዋል። እሺ ይሉና አይ እግዚአብሔር እንዲህ አለ ምን ይሻላል? እንዴ ሂዱዋ ከእግዚአብሔር የበለጠማ ከተገኘ ጥሩ ነው ይባል እና ጉም ቤት ይሄዳሉ። አሁን ልክ እግዚአብሔር ቤት ሄደው እንዳሉት ጉም ቤት ሄደው እንዲህ ለልጃችን ልጅ እንድሰጠን ነው የኛ ልጅ አይት ልጅ ነው እንደዛ ብለው ይነግሩታል። ከዛ በኋላ አሁን ጉም ጥሩ ጥያቄ ነው በጣም ደስ የሚል ነው ነገር ግን ከኔ የበለጠ በጣም ትልቅ በጣም ኃይለኛ ታዋቂ ነገር አለ። ስለዚህ የሱ ልጅ ነው ጥቅም የሚጠቅማቸው። ማን ነው እሱ? ንፋስ ነው። ንፋስ እኔም በደቂቃ እና በሰከንድ መበታተን የሚችል ነው። ስለዚህ የሱ ልጅ ነው ጠይቁት ይላቸዋል። እሺ ብለው እንደገና አሁንም መልሰው ለአባቱ መንደው ተመልሰው ነፋስ ጋር ሄዳሉ። ንፋስም ጥያቄያቸውን በአግባቡ ይቀበልና ጥሩ ነው ብሎ ከዛ በኋላ አይ ጥያቄያችሁ አግባብነት ያለው ነው እና ስለዚህ ከኔ የበለጠ ኃይለኛ ደግሞ አለ። ስለዚህ የለም እንደዛ አታርጉ ያን ጠይቁ ይላቸዋል። ማን ነው እሱ? እንዴ ከኔማ የበለጠ ተራራ ነው ይላቸዋል። ተራራ እንዴት አድርጎ ነው ከአንተ ነው የበለጠው? እንዴ ተራራ እኔ ሮጬ ስመጣ በጥፊ መቶኝ የሚመልሰኝ ነው። ስለዚህ ተራራን ጠይቁ። አሁን ተራራ ጋር ይሄዳሉ። ተራራንም በዚሁ አይነት ጥሩ ነው ግን ከኔ ብዙ የሚበልጥ እኔን በተወሰነ ጊዜ አፈራርሶ ሊጥል የሚችል አለ። ስለዚህ ሰውን ጠይቁ። ማን ነው እሱ? አይጠምቆት ይሄ አፈር የሚቆፍረው አይጠምቆት ነው የሚባለው አይደል? ይሄ አፈር ቆፍሮ ነው የሚጠምረው።
ቱቃ በእንግሊዝኛ
ማውስ ነው የሚባለው ፍልፈል ፍልፈል ነው ፍልፈል ነው የሚባለው። ይሄ ኤሌክትሪክ ያለው ቆፍሮ እሱን ጠይቁ። እሱ ነው የኔን ውስጣዊ አካልን ቦርቡሮ በአንድ ጊዜ ጭርስ የሚያደርገው እሱ ስለሆነ እሱን ጠይቁ ይባላል። አሁን እሺ ብለው ይሄዱና ያንን ፍልፈል ይጠይቁታል። እንዴ ምን ችግር አለው? እኔማ እንግዲህ ያው የአይጥ ልጅን አግኝቼ ነው እንዴ እንግዲህ ዘራቸው ስፔሻቸው አንድ ነው ስለዚህ አግኝቼ ነው እንዴ ልጅን እሰጣለሁ ይባላል። ኋላ የአይጥ ልጅ መጨረሻ ላይ ያው የዘሩ ልጅ የፍልፍል ልጅ አገባ ይባላል።
እና
ሁለት ጥርስ ነው ያለው። ሁለት ጥርስ ነው ያለው። በዛ አፈር በጣም ይቆረቁራል፣ ይቆልላል።
This is about rats. There's a whole colony of rats who thought they were very superior to all animals on earth. And they're very arrogant and ambitious, and they had a king. And the king was the worst of them all, and he thought he was above everything. And after some time, the king had a son. He said, look, my son is the greatest being on this whole world. Therefore, I've got to find a wife who is up to him on the same standard, the same status. So, since none of these miserable animals on earth could be a good wife for him, he's got to marry the Creator's daughter. So he gathered his elders and he said, you know, go and ask for the Creator's daughter's hand in marriage. So, you know, according to the tradition, like when you send the uncles and the afar, here you send the elders. And they went to ask for the daughter's hand in marriage, and they said, look, we've got an excellent son, He's intelligent, he's handsome, he's exceptional. Therefore, we want you to give us your daughter as a bride for our son. And the Creator said, well, thank you very much. I can see from what you see that your son really is something special. And I think that, in fact, he's so special that he should marry somebody even greater than my daughter. So the elder said, but we think that you are the greatest. He said, no, I'm God, I live in the sky. And the fog comes and wraps itself around me. And if the fog comes and suffocates me, I can't do anything, I'm helpless. Therefore, you should try to go and ask for the fog's daughter. She's very beautiful. So the elders go back to the king and says, well, if God says that the fog's greater than him, that must be so. So go and ask the fog for his daughter. So once again, the elders go to the fog's place and say, look, we've got this great son. We hear you've got a beautiful daughter. Can she marry him? And the fog said, well, tell me about the boy. He said, he's handsome, he's intelligent, he's great. So they said, well, if that's the case, our daughter is below him. And he should marry somebody even greater. And they said, who can be greater than the fog? Even the Creator admitted that he can suffocate him. He said, oh, the wind. The wind comes, and when the wind blows, it scatters me to pieces. I can no match for the wind. And the wind has a daughter. Therefore, go and ask the wind. So they go back to the king, and they go to the wind. And this time it's the wind's turn. And the wind says, wow, this son of yours, he's really special. And he's above my daughter. So why don't you ask for the hand in marriage of somebody above me? And they say, but who's greater than the wind? You can scatter the fog. Oh, the mountain. When I rush against the mountain, he just slaps me and I fall back. And I'm no challenge at all whatsoever. So they say, okay. And the next day they talk to the king once again. And they go to the mountain. And they tell them about their problems. And the mountain said, oh, that's a good idea. But my daughter isn't fit to be your bride. There's somebody greater than me. And they said, who's that? They said, there's this person, there's this thing that's so strong. It burrows right through my insides and breaks me down to a field overnight if it wants. And that's the bush rat. So they go back to the rat and they say, mountains and bush rat. So they go to the bush rat and they say, can we marry your daughter? So yes, we're cousins, we're rodents. Therefore, it's a good idea. And the rat and the bush rat got married. And the theme here is you can put somebody in his place, in a nice roundabout way.
የሰውና የአራዊት ዘመቻ በሚል ቀደም ሲል ሲነገር የነበረ ታሪክ አፍ ታሪክ እንዳለ ይኸውም በተማሪ ማርያማ ሙሐመድ ከቦረና ማርያ ሙሐመድ በተማሪ ማርያም ሙሐመድ ከቦረና የተዘጋጀ ነው። ይኸውም በድሮ ጊዜ አንበሳ፣ አህያ፣ ሰው፣ ውሻና እፉኝት ሰው፣ አህያ፣ አንበሳ፣ ውሻ፣ እፉኝት፣ አሞራ ሆነው በጋራ ወደ ዘመቻ ይሄዳሉ። ወደ ዘመቻ እንግዲህ ረጅም መንገድ ነው። ሲደክማቸው በአንድ ምሽት ይህ ታሪክ ነው የምለው። ይህ ታሪክ ከዚህ በፊት በተማሪ ማርያማ ሙሐመድ ከቦረና ተዘጋጅቶ የቀረበ ሲሆን ታሪኩም የሚያመለክተው በቀደም ሲል አንበሳ፣ ሰው፣ አህያ፣ ውሻ፣ ፉኝት፣ አሞራ ሆኖ እንግዲህ ጠላቶቻቸውን ለመከላከል ወደ ዘመቻ ይሄዳሉ እና ረጅም መንገድ ሄደው አንድ ቀን ውሎ ሲመሽባቸው አንድ ሰው ቤት ጭስ ያያሉ። ጭስ ከሩቁ ያያሉ። ከሩቁ ካዩ በኋላ በዚሁ ጭስ አማካይነት ወደ ቤቱ ተመርተው ሄደው እንዲያሳድሯቸው ይጠይቃሉ። ደርሶ ሲጠይቁ በባህሉ ህዝቡ ባህልም እንግዳ ማሳደር ስለሚፈቅድ ያሳድሯቸዋል። ሲያሳድሩ አሳዳሪዎቹ የራሳቸው ችግር አለባቸው። ይኸውም ያላቸው አንድ ላም ብቻ ነች። በምን እንደሚያሳድሩ ይቸግራቸዋል። ባልየው ባለቤቱን፣ ሚስቱን ያማክራል። ምን እናድርግ፣ እንግዶች ስለሆኑ እቺኑ ያለችንን ላም እንረድላቸው ይሉና ይማከራና ይስማማሉ። በመጨረሻም ከማረዳቸው በፊት ተመልሰው እነዚህን ለዘመቻ የወጡትን አራዊቶቹን እና ሰውን አንዳንድ እናንተ ለእኛ ምንድን ነው የምታደርጉልን? እኛ እንደዚህ እናሳድራቸዋለን ብለው ይጠይቋቸዋል። ሁሉም ምን እንደ ምንድን ነው የምትፈልጉት ምንድን ነው? ከእኛ ቤታችን ስታጡ የምትበሉት የምትፈልጉት ምንድን ነው? ደግሞስ ምንድን ነው የምትሰጠውን ብድር ብሎ ያማክራሉ። በዚህም ጊዜ ሁሉም የየራሳቸው ሀሳብ ለየብቻ ነው የሚሰጡ። በዚህም መሰረት አንበሳ እኔ የምጠጣው ደም ነው፣ ካስፈለገም ትንሽ ስጋ ቀምሳለሁ፣ ብድሩን በኋላ እንማከርበታለን ይላል። ውሻ እኔ የምፈልገው አጥንት ነው፣ ብድሩን በኋላ እንማከራለን ትላለች። ሰው እኔ የምፈልገውን ወተቱን ነው፣ ብድሩን በኋላ እንማከራለን ይላል። ኡፍኝት እኔ የምፈልገው ሞራውን ነው እና ብድሩን በኋላ እንማከርበታለን ትላለች። አህያ እኔ የምፈልገው የቤቱን ገለባ ሳር ነው የምፈልገው፣ እሱን ከቤቱ ላይ ከራሴ ቤት ላይ አንስቴ ስጠኝ እና እሱን በልቼ ልደር፣ ብድሩን በኋላ ነው የምፈልገው ከፍለው ትላለች። ከዛ አሞራ እኔ የምፈልገው ቆዳው ሲዘረፍ እንደሆነ ማለት እንደፈሩ ቆዳው ሲወጠር ቆዳው ሲወጠር
አሞራ ምን ይላል?
ቆዳው ሲወጠር ከላው ላይ እንዲህ የተራረፈው ስጋዎች አይደለ ልጣጩ የሚፋቀው እሱን ደርሼ ከበላው ይበቃኛል፣ ብድሩን በኋላ መልሳለሁ ይላል። ስለዚህ ይስማሙና አሁን ስምምነት ከተደረገ በኋላ ላሚቷ ትታረዳለች። ላህያውም የጠየቀውን ሳር ይሰጣል። ላሚቷ ትታርዳ በአንዴ አርዳ ነው ያው የሚጠብቁና ሁሉም የየራሳቸውን ድርሻ ወስደው ይሄዳሉ። ከዛ በኋላ ብድር የሚመለሱት ቃል ገብቶ ነው። ሌላ ጊዜ ተመልሶ የሚመልሱ ብድሩን። በዚህ መሰረት አንበሳ እኔ አንድ ቀን ጠዋት መጣለሁ፣ በበራፊ ላይ አልፋለሁ፣ በበራፊ ላይ ሳልፍ ድምፅ አሰማለሁ እና እኔ ድምፅ ሳሰማ አንተ ወጥተህ ታገኛለህ የሚሰጥህ ነገር ብሎ ያልፋል። በዚሁ መሰረት አንበሳውም በዛ በር ላይ ሲያልፍ ድምፅ ያሰማል። ድምፅ ሲያሰማ ሰውየው ከቤቱ ሲወጣ የዝሆን ጥርስ ጥሎለት ያልፋል እና በዝሆን ጥርሱ ሰውየው ያገኝና ሀብታም ይሆናል ማለት ነው። ብድሩ የአንበሳ በዛ ተመለሰ። ውሻ ደግሞ ሰውየውን ቄውን ትጠብቅለታለች። ብዙ ብድር ተመለሰ ነው። ሌላው ኡፍኝት እስከ 7 ዓመት ጊዜ ስጠኝ ትላለች። እስከ 7 ዓመት ጊዜ ስጠኝና ልክ 7ኛው ዓመት ላይ ብድር እንመልስላለሁ ትላልና ቃል ገብታ ትሄዳለች። 7ኛው ዓመት ይደርሳል። 7ኛው ዓመት ሲደርስ እሷም ትመጣና የሰውዬው ወንድም ያኔ ገና ለንፈት እንደዚህ አላገኘም፣ ሰባተኛው ዓመት ላይ ንብረት ያጣበትና ማታ ምሽት ላይ በር ይከፍ በረቱ ሄዶ ሲዘጋ ትሄድና ትነድፈዋለች። ወፍኝት ትነድፈውና ሰውየውን ትገላለች፣ ወንድሙን ትገላለች። ከዛ በኋላ ያ የቀረው ንብረት በሙሉ በውርስ ለሱ ሆነ ማለት ነው። አሞራው የተጠለፈች ልጅ አካባቢው የተጠለፈች ልጅ ሽማግሌዎች ለእርቅ ተሰባስበው ሲሄዱ ይከታተላል እና ተከታትለው ሲሄዱ በእጃቸው ይዞ የሚሄዱት ደህና ዋጋ ሊያወጣ የሚችል እቃ ይዘዋል። ያንን እሱ ተከታትሎ ይደርስባቸው እና ይነጥቃቸዋል። ነጥቋቸው ወደ ሰማይ ይበርና ራሱ የሚፈልገውን ያህል ከተንቀሳቀሰ በኋላ ሄዶ እዚህኛው ሰውዬ ጋር ሄዶ ይጥልለታል። በዛ ብድሩን መለሰ። አህያው ደግሞ ከፍተኛ ገንዘብ እንግዲህ በድሮ ጊዜ የብረት ገንዘብ እንደዚህ አህያ ጭኖ ነው የሚሄዱ እና ማርትሬዛ እንደዚህ ጭኖ ነው የሚሄዱ። ይህንን ጭኖ አህያ ይዛ ተጭና ስትሄድ በሌላ ሰው ነው እንግዲህ ያለው ሰው ጭኗት የምትሄደው። ተጭና ስትሄድ አንድ ቦታ ትደርስና ትጠፋበታለች፣ ትሰወራለች። ተሰውራ ያንን እንደ ተጫነች ቀጥታ የዛኛው ሰውዬ ቤት ትሄድና እዛ ያገኟታል። ሲፈቱ ይሄ ንብረት ነው ይወስዳሉ። ብድሩ በዚህ አይነት ተመለሰ። በመጨረሻ ግን ሰው እስካሁን ሁሉ አራዊት ብድር ሲመልስ ሰው ግን ምንም ነገር ሳይመልስ በዛው ይቀራል የሚል ነው እንግዲህ በዚህ ነው የሚደመደመው።
Well, this is called The Man and the Animals, and it was originally written by a student called Maryam Muhammad. And a man, a donkey, a lion, a dog, a puffadder, and an eagle were all going to war, so they had to, you know, travel many days. And as they're traveling one day, it became dark, so they wanted a place to spend the night. So they looked around and they saw the smoke of somebody's fire. So following the trail of smoke, they went to the person's house. And as is customary, you know, the traveler said, "We'd like to spend the night." So the husband and wife let them in. And they said, "Look, we don't have anything to feed our guests. So what shall we do?" And they talked a bit, and they only had one cow. So they said, "You know, maybe we should slaughter the cow for them." But then they thought, if we slaughter the cow, you know, we won't have anything else. So they talked it over with them and they said, "Look, we have a cow and that's all we have. So if we feed you now, we expect to be repaid in the future. So first you should tell us what you want to eat, and then you should tell us what you're going to do for us in return." So the lion said, "Well, I want to drink the blood of the cow and maybe eat a bit of milk. And I promise you, one day I will repay you." And the dog said, "Well, I'd rather have the bones. And I can't say it now, but one day I will repay you." And the man said, "Well, I want the milk. And I also promise to repay you." And the puff adder said, "I want the white fat, you know, the nice white fat. And I will also repay you, maybe after 7 years or so." And the donkey said, "Well, it's not actually the cow I want. It's some grass off the thatched roof of your hut. So if you give me some grass, I'll repay you one day." And the eagle said, "Well, there's going to be some scrapings of meat on the leather hide. You know, when they stretch it out, there are scrapings of meat. I want to eat that, and I'll repay you too." So the man and his wife, they slaughtered the cow, and they gave the lion the blood, the dog the bones, the man the milk, the puff adder the white fat, and the eagle the meat on the hide, and the donkey the grass of the thatched roof, and they went on their way. Then after some time, the lion had said, one day you'll hear me roar. And when you hear me roar, come out of your hut and you will find what I'm going to give you. So one day, it was early in the morning, the lion roared and the man went rushing out of his hut. And he found a huge elephant tusk, ivory, in front of his hut. And he was very happy and pleased. And he took in the ivory, and that was valuable for him. Then, on another day, he found out that there were no thieves coming around his area. And then he came to learn that it was the dog who kept on guarding the whole area where he lived. So he was happy that the dog repaid him in this manner. Then, after 7 years, the man had a brother who was quite young at the time, but he was a bad guy and he became very rich. So the puff-eyed adder, after 7 years, went and it bit his brother, and his brother died. Now, according to the customs of that country, when a brother dies, the other brother inherits everything. So the brother became very rich because he inherited all of his other brother's wealth. So he was quite happy about it. Then the eagle one day, it saw that the elders were taking lots of valuable gifts to reconcile a husband and a young girl who had quarreled during marriage. So the eagle swooped down and took away those valuable goods. And she brought it over to the man and she dropped it for him to use. So who were left? The donkey and the man. After some time, some people were using the donkey to carry this heavy metal and money. You know, the olden day money used to be out of silver. Yeah, so that all that was laden on the donkey. And as the donkey was going through the forest, and it suddenly ran away from the people, and it went to the man, and it deposited all the money. But surprisingly enough, the man never came back to keep his promise, and he stayed away.
ሌላው የስለ ጣውንቶች ነው ለጣውንቶች
አውቆት ከመጥ ማለት ነው ነው ያላገባቸው ነው
አንድ ሰው ለተነስተ የኛው ታሪክ የሚመለከተው በተማሪ ቆንጂ ተፈራ ከቦረና ተዘጋጅተው የቀረበ ነው ይሁን ሁለት ጣውንቶች ነበሩ አንዷ መሃን ስትሆን አንደኛዋ ሁለት አንድ አመንታ አርግዛ ትወልዳለች ልክ እሷ በምትወልድበት ዕለት ወልዳ እንደተገላገለች መሃና በመቀኝነት ትነሳሳና እሷ ጋር መጣ ከተገላገለች በኋላ የነፈሰውን ደም ትወስድና የእሷን አፍ ትቀባለች ሲቲዮናፍ ከዛ በኋላ ሁለቱ ልጆች ተወስደና በልብስ ተጠቅልላ ባህር ውስጥ ትጥላለች ከዛ በኋላ ባለቤቷ ይገባል ሲገባ ጣውንቴ ልጆቹን በልታለች እና ብላስ ስታስረዳ ሄዶ ሲመለከት አፏ ላይ ደም ያያል ደም ካየ በኋላ እሱም ሁኔታውን ያምንና ይገርፋታል ያሰቃያታል የአህያ ጎረም ነው አለ እዛ ይወስድና እዛ እንድትኖር ያደርጋታል የአህያ ሽን ጫንጫ ፋንድያ እነዚህ ሁሉ ምግቧም አህያ ፋንድያ እንዲሆን ሽንቷን እንድጠጣ ይህ ሁሉ ያስገድዳታል ከዛ በኋላ እሷ ለዛ ስትኖር እንደ አጋጣሚ ደግሞ የተጣሉ ልጆች ወዲያውኑ አጋጣሚ ዋናተኞች በአካባቢው ስለነበሩ እነሱ ሳዩ ነው እንግዲህ ሴትዮዋ የጣለቻቸው ሲያልፉ ያገኙና ልጆቹን ያድኗቸዋል ከዚያ በኋላ ወስዶ አሳድጋሉ ልጆቹ መጣላቸውን ከእንደዚህ ይሄ እሷም ኢንፎርሜሽኑ ይሰማል ከታወቀ በኋላ ልጆቹ ይደርሳል እናታቸው እዛ ቦታ እንደነበረች ታህያ ወረኖስ እንደምትኖር በዚህ አይነት ስቃይ ላይ እንደምትኖር ይነገራቸዋል። ፈልገው ያገኙዋታል። ካገኙ በኋላ ሰውየውን አጥቶ ነው ያንፈልጉት ማለት አባታቸው የምንፈልገው እናታችን ነው ብለው ወደ ያነጋግራሉ። ይወስዷታል። ለሰውነቷን አጥቦ ልብሷን ሁሉ ከላዋላ አጥቦ እሷን ይዞ ወደ ቤት ይሄዳሉ። አባትየውን አላኩም ያቺን እንጀራ እናታቸውን ወይም ሰልጣን ጣውንት ማለት ነው ይወስድና እንግዲህ አጋዥ የሚያገኛሉ ከህብረተሰቡም ዘንድ እንደዚህ አይነት ተንኮል የሰራች ሴት መኖር የለባትም ተብሎ ትገደልና ከብት ተነድቶባት ነው ሞቶች ነው ብሎ ከብት ተነድቶባት እንድትሞት ተደርጋለች የምል ነው ባጭሩ። ይሄን ነው ብዙም ያለው እና ይሄ
This is about two jealous wives. And once upon a time there was a man who had two wives. And one of the wives was barren and the other wasn't. So the man was obviously very excited that his wife was going to deliver. Then when he was away from the home, she gave birth to twins. And the barren wife was very jealous. So she took some of the blood and put it on her mouth when she was asleep. And she took the twins and wrapped them up. And she threw them into a river. Then when her husband came home, she said, "You know how evil your wife is. She ate up the precious children that were born." And the husband was very, very angry about this. And he was very angry. So he looked at her and he saw the blood near her mouth and he believed the barren one's story.
The blood was on the...
On the mother, yeah. Then he whipped her and he took her and he tied her up in a donkey's stable. And he made sure that she had nothing to eat or drink. Therefore all she had to eat was the donkey's droppings and all she had to drink was the donkey's urine. So she was really suffering and living over there. But fortunately, some swimmers had seen the twins being thrown into the water. So they took them and they reared them. And you know, as in a village, information gets out and things are told around. So gradually they heard that the man had taken his mother, taken his wife, the mother, and kept her in a donkey stable. So when the twins grew up, they told them, they said that, you know, we're just rearing you. And in fact, your mother is in such and such a place, living in a donkey stable. And your father is living with the barren wife. So as the twins grew up, they wanted justice and they went back to their village and they said, they freed their mother and they washed her and they said, "We want to take you and take care of you and we want you to live with us." And they said to their father, "Well, we don't want to see you again because you haven't been able to judge things correctly." But then they wanted to punish the barren mother. So they went to the village elders and said, "This is her crime. You know, she tried to kill us, and she's done this to her second wife, to the second wife, so she should be punished." So they agreed on the death penalty. And in that country, the death penalty is you're buried on the in the ground, and cattle are driven over you. And she was killed in this horrible way.
ይሄኛው አፈታሪክ ደግሞ በተማሪ ለሙ ዋጪሌ ተዘጋጅቶ ቀረበ ነው። ይሄውም በድሮ ጊዜ አንድ ሀብታም ሰው እንደነበረና አንድ ሚስት እና ሁለት ልጆች እንደነበሩት ነው የሚያሳየው። ይሄ ሰው ራሱ ጎበዝ ሰራተኛ ነው። በጣም ጥረት ያደርጋል። ሁሌ ብዙ እርሻ መሬቶች አሉት። ሁሉ ጊዜ ያርሳል። ንብረት በግሉ ነው የሚያፈራው። ብዙ የእርሻ ማሳ አለው። ነገር ግን ልጆቹን አሰራቸው። ልጆቹን በጣም ስለሚወዳቸው እንዳይጎዱበት ራሱ ነው የሚሰራ።
ማንኛውንም እርሻ የሚመለከት እንቅስቃሴዎች ሁሉ የሚያደርገው ራሱ ነው። ከተወሰነ ከእለታት አንድ ቀን እናታቸው ትሞታለች ማለት የልጆቹ እናት ወይም የሱ ባለቤት ትሞታለች። ስትሞት አሁን ልጆቹና እሱ ብቻ ይሆናሉ። አሁንም ልጆቼን እንደናትም እንደአባትም ሆኜ ማሳደግ አለብኝ ብሎ ቃል ይገባና ውጪው የሚሰራውንም እርሻውንም በደንብ ራሱ እያረሰ እንደገና ምግባቸውንም ልብሳቸውንም ሌሎች የቤት እናት የምትሸፍናቸውን ስራዎች ሁሉ ራሱ ድርቦ ይሰራና ልጆቹን በደንብ ተከባክቦ ያሳድጋቸዋል። ልጆቹ ከስራ ጋር ምንም ግንኙነት የላቸውም። ከተወሰነ አመት በኋላ ያው እርጅናም እየተጫጫ ነው ይመጣል። ህመሙም ሲታመማል። ከጊዜ በኋላ ይሄ ሁኔታ እየተሰማው ይመጣል። ልጆቼን ምንድን ነው ማደርጋቸው? ልጆቼ ራሳቸውን የሚችሉበት ሁኔታ የለም። እርሻን አላስተማርኳቸውም። ራሳቸው ምግባቸውን እንኳን አዘጋጅቶ መብላት አይችሉም። ይህ በጣም ይጨነቃል፣ ችግር ውስጥ ይገባል። መጨረሻ ላይ ያለው አማራጮችን ያስባል። ሲያስብ ልጆቹን በጣም እየደከሙ ሲመጣ ይጠራቸውና ይመክራቸዋል። ሲመክራቸው ብዙ ባሉት ማሳዎች ሁሉ ውስጥ ወርቅ መቅበሩን ይገልጽላቸዋል። ወርቅ ቀብር ያለው ሁሉም ማሳ ውስጥ እናንተ ለወደፊት የምትኖሩበትን ለህይወታችሁ ለኖራችሁ ሊበቃችሁ የሚችል በእድሜያችሁ ሙሉ ሊበቃችሁ የሚችል ወርቅ በእያንዳንዱ ማሳ ውስጥ ቀብር የላችኋለሁና ከእንግዲህ እኔም መስራት ስለማልችል ከዚህ ቆፍራችሁ ወርቁን ወስዳችሁ ተጠቅማችሁ በሱ ኑሩ ብሎ ይናዘዛል። ጎረቤቶችንም ይጠራና ልጆቼ እናት የላቸው፣ እኔም ደክሞኝ እየሞትኩ ነው፣ ወደዛው እየሄድኩ ነው። በተቻላችሁ መጠን ምግብ እንኳን እያዘጋጃችሁ ልጆቼን አደራ እና ከእለታት አንድ ቀን እሱ ያርፋል። እሱ ሲያርፍ ያው በአካባቢው ስነ ስርዓት መሰረት እሱ ተቀበረና ልጆቹም ያሉት ጎረቤቶችም ለጊዜው ምግባቸውን እያዘጋጁላቸው ወደ ማሳዎቹ ሄደው ቁፋሮ ይጀምራሉ። ቁፋሮ ጀምረው ማሳዎቹን ሲቆፍሩ የመጀመሪያው ማሳን ቢያዳርሱ ምንም ወርቅ አላገኙ። ያሉትን ማሳ ተራ በተራ የፈጁትን ያህል ጊዜም ቢሆን ፈይተው አዳርሰው ሲያጠናቅቁ ልጆቹ አባታችን አታሎናል ብሎ መማካከር ይጀምራሉ። እንዴት ነው ሊያታልልን የቻለው ብሎ ሲማከሩ አባታችን እንደውም ወርቅ ያለን ወርቅ ቀብሮ ሳይሆን እርሻ እንድናርስና ራሳችን እርሻ አርሰን ዘርተን እንደሌላው ህዝብ መኖር እንድንችል ስለሆነ ተብሎ ብለው ታም ይማከሩና በቀጣው የእርሻ ወይንም የዘር ወቅት ማሳቸውን እንደሌላው ህዝብ ዘርተው ከዛ በኋላ ኑሯቸውን በሱ አድርገው በሰላም ለረጅም ጊዜ ኖሩ ይባላል።
Sorry. The father's inheritance, which was written down by the student called Lemu Achele. Once upon a time, there was this very hard-working farmer who had a wife and two sons. He was quite rich because he used to work very hard. But he wanted to bring up his children very well. I didn't want them to work or to, you know, so they didn't want them to labor. So he always worked very hard, but he wouldn't let his children do anything, and his wife looked after the house. But after some time, his wife died. But still he didn't want his children to work, so he'd do the housework and the field work together. And just he brought up his children so they wouldn't have to, anything to do. But as time went on, he became older and he became sick, and he started worrying about his children. And he thought to himself, when I die, my children can't take care of themselves. So what should I do? And he thought about this a long time. Then he called his sons and he said, look, my inheritance to you is a lot of gold. I've got many fields which I plow, and I've buried gold in all of them. Therefore, it's up to you to plow the fields and find the gold. Then he called his neighbors and he said, look, I'm going to die and my children do not look after themselves. So until they start cooking and looking after themselves, please provide them with food. So the neighbors provided them with food for some time, but the brothers didn't want to be robbed of the gold. So they went and they did the digging themselves. And they dug one field after another, until they had dug all the fields and they found that there was no gold whatsoever. Then the two brothers sat down and they discussed and said, do you think our father was cheating us? And the other one said, no, I think all he was saying is that the farming profession is a golden profession. And if we dig up the fields and we plow very well, then we can become rich. So like all the other farmers in the region, they sowed the wheat and everything that they had, and they became very rich farmers, and they became good like their father.
Okay. Kuni ihenyau ba tamari kadi dulacha liban. በተማሪ ዱለቻ ሊበን ከቦረና የቀረበ የድሮ አፈታሪክ ነው። አፈታሪኩም የሚያተኩረው በድሮ ጊዜ አንበሳ ጅብ እና ቀበሮ ከብቶቻቸውን በአንድነት ይጠብቁ ነበር። የአንበሳና የቀበሮ ተራ ዕለት ጅብ የሱ ላም እንደምትወልድና እንደሚጠብቋት በአንበሳው አደራ ይላል። በተለይ አንበሳውን እንድታጠናክርልኝ ላሚቷ ልትወልድ ያው በእለቱ እንደምትወልድ ያውቃል እና እንድትከታተልልኝ ብሎ አደራ ይላል። አንበሳውም በሁኔታው በጣም በመደሰት ይከታተላለሁ፣ ምንም ችግር የለም ብለው ይላያሉ። ጅቡ ሰፈር ይውላል። አንበሳና ቀበሮ ከብት ያግዳሉ። ሲቆዩ ከብቶቹን በተለያየ ሳር ግጦሽ ቦታ እንድታሰማራ ቀበሮዋን ያዛል። እሱ የተወሰኑትን እንደዚህ ወደ ኋላ የጅቡን ላም ያይቆያል። እሷ አርቃ ወደዛ ስታቆይ እሱ የሆነ ዘዴ ይቀይስና ከብቶቹን ማለት ላሚቷን ስትወልድ ቶሎ ብሎ የሚዳቋን ግልገል ወስዶ ላምቷ ስር አረግና የራሱ ሰንጋ ነበር። የራሱ ሰንጋ ስር ደግሞ የተወለደችውን ግደር ጥጃ ግደር ነች። ግደሩን ወስዶ ለሰንጋው ስር ያደርጋል። ይህንን እንደጨረሰ ቀበሯም ስትመጣ እንደዚህ ወለደች፣ ያቺ ሚዳቋ ወለደች፣ እኔ ደግሞ ሰንጋ ግደር ወልዷል ብሎ ይናገራል። እንደገና ወደ ሰፈር ይገባሉ። ወደ ሰፈር ሲገቡ ጅቡ እንዴት ነው የኔ ላም እንዴት ሆነች ለወለደች ወይ ብሎ ሲጠይቅ፣ አዎ ያንተ ላም ምዳቋ ወልዳለች፣ የኔ ሰንጋ ደግሞ አጋጣሚ ባንተው በዚሁ ቀን ግደር ወልዷል ብሎ ሲናገር፣ ጅቡ ሁኔታው በጣም ቅር ሲሰኝ እንዴት ሊሆን ይችላል ብሎም ይፈራል። ለማንኛውም አባባ ጅቡ አንበሳ፣ እኔ በሁኔታው ቅር ተሰኝቻለሁ፣ ይሄ ነገር አላጠገበኝም፣ ስለዚህ ለአገር ሽማግሌ ይህንን ጉዳይ አቀርባለሁ ይላል። አንበሳውም ይስማማል። ይቅረብ ለአገር ጉድ ሽማግሌ ይባላል።
አሁን ያገር ሽማግሌዎች አንበሳ ጅብ ቀበሮ ሆኖ እነሱ ራሳቸው ይቀመጣሉ። ባንደኛው ቀን ይገናኛሉ። ሲገናኙ ቀበሮ የመጀመሪያ አስተያየት እንዲሰጥ ይደረጋል። ሲደረግ ተወልደን ራሳችንን ማያታችንን እንጂ እንዴት እንደተወለደን አናውቅም ትላለች። ሰው የመጀመሪያ ሐሳብ ይሄን ተሰጣለች። እነዚህ ተቃዋሚዎች ናቸው መስለኛ። በመቀጠልም አንበሳው ሐሳቢስ እንዲሰጥ ሲጠየቅ አንበሳው ደግሞ እግዚአብሔር የሰጠንን ሰው ሊከለክለን አይችልም ይላል። በሶስተኛ ደረጃ ይሄ መጀመሪያ ግንኙነት ነው። በሶስተኛ ደረጃ ጅብ አስተያየት እንዲሰጥ ይጠየቃል። የአንዳንድ እናቶች ልጆች ተርበው የሌሎች እናቶች ጠግቦ አያድሩም ብሎ ይናገራል። ፍልፈል በዚህ ለተም አልመጣም። በሁለተኛ ቀጠሮ አሁንም ሶስቱ ይገናኛሉ። ቀበሮ፣ አንበሳና ጅብ ይገናኛሉ። ተገናኝተው ቀበሮ አሁንም የመጀመሪያ እድል ይሰጣታል። የትውልድ ተመልሶ መሞቱ አይቀርም ትላለች። አንበሳው በተራው በሁለተኛ ደረጃ ያለው አንበሳ ነው ተራው ላይ በዚህ ዘመን ያለ እድል መኖር አይቻልም የሚል ሐሳብ ይሰጣል። በሶስተኛ ደረጃ ጅብ ደግሞ የራሱ ተራ ይደርስና የጠገበ ሰው ሳይኮረኮሩት ይስቃል የሚል ሐሳብ ይሰጣል። አሁንም ሶስተኛ ቀጠሮም ደረገና በሶስተኛው ቀንም እንደዚሁ ተገናኝተው ፍልፈልን ሲጠብቁ ይቆዩና እሷ እንግዲህ የመጨረሻ ውሳኔ ሰጪ እሷ ናት ተብሎ ሲጠበቅ እና ዲሲዥን ይቀር እንደዚህ ሊሆን ይችላል እና ሲጠበቅ ትቀራለች። ተመልሶ ይለያያሉ። አሁን በፍልፈል መቅረት አንበሳው ይናደድና ምንድን ነው ሶስት ቀን ሙሉ ጠበቅነሽ ለምንድን ነው ቀረሽ ብሎ ሲጠይቅ ፍልፈልን በመጀመሪያው ቀን ተአንድ ተራራ ከሌላኛው ተራራ ጋር እንግዲህ ተጋይቶ ይሄንን ለማስተካከል ነው የቀረሁት ትላለች። ሁለተኛው ቀን ደግሞ እርጥብና ደረቁን ዛፎች ለመለየት ነው የቀረው። ተቀላቅሎ እርጥብና ደረቅ ዛፎች ተቀላቅሎ ለመለየት ነው ቀረው ትላለች። በሶስተኛ ቀን ደግሞ ለምን ቀረሽ ስትባል በውሃ የተቃጠለው ነው የሚተቃጠለውን ኩሬ በውሃ የተቃጠለውን ኩሬ ለማጥፋት ነው የሄድኩት ለዚህ ነው ቀረው ትላለች። በዚህን ጊዜ አንበሳው በሁኔታው ይናደድና ፍልፈል ከመቼ ወዲህ ነው ውሃ በኩሬ በውሃ የሚቃጠለው ብሎ ሲጠይቃት ፍልፈሏም ጌታ የጊደር የሚወልድ ሰንጋስ ምንድን ነው ብላ መልስ ትመልሳለች። አንበሳም ተናደው አንቺ ጠማማ ጠብቂ ብሎ ይናገራል። ይሄን ጊዜ እሷ መጀመሪያም ጉድጓድ አፋፍ ላይ ነው ቁጭ ያለችው ጉድጓድ አፋፍ ላይ ነው። ዝናብ ይጥል ነበር በዛን ሰዓት። አሁን ልካፋፍ ላይ ራሷን ታስተካክልና ጌታዬ ዝናብ በግራም በቀኝም እየዘነበ ነው እስቲ ይመልከቱ እና ማን ይጠጣዋል እስቲ ይመልከቱ እየተጠጣ ነው ይሄ ግራና ቀኝ ዘንቦን ዝናብ ማን ይጠጣል እስቲ ይመልከቱ ስትል እንግዲህ መጀመሪያ በትኩር አድርጎ አይቶ ሊመታስል ነው እንግዲህ እርምጃ ሊወስድባስል ነው ስትል እሱ ግራና ቀኝ ያያል ያን ዝናብ እሷ ይሄኔ ወደ ጉድጓድ ልትገባ ምንም ቢሆን ቁርጡን ተናግሬ ቢሞት እሞታለሁ እንጂ ጊደር የጊደሩን የወለደችው የአያ ጅቦ ላም ናት የፈለገ ነገር ይምጣ ብላ እንትን ውስጥ ገባች ወደ ጉድጓድ ውስጥ ገባች እና በዚህ ያልቃል የመጀመሪያው።
The title of this story is I'd rather die than not tell the truth. So I'll tell the truth and die if I've got to die. and it was originally written by a student called Dullacha Liban from Borana. So once upon a time there was a lion, a hyena and a fox, and they used to send their cattle out together to graze, and they took it in turns to go out and look after the cattle. Now one day it was the lion's and the fox's turn to take out the cattle to graze, and the hyena was sure that his cow was going to give birth that day, so he asked them to take extra special care of her. So when they went out into the fields, the lion told the fox that he should take half the cattle and take them to graze on the other side, and he took the rest with the hyena's cow and he took them to another field. Then after some time the cow gave birth, and the lion quickly took a calf of a dik-dik deer and he pushed that under the cow, and then he took the calf from the cow and he pushed that under his bull. Then when the fox came, he said, "Isn't this amazing? The hyena's cow has given birth to a dik-dik, and my bull has given birth to a calf." So when evening came, they took all the animals back, and the hyena was upset when he heard what happened. And he said, "This isn't fair. The calf belongs to my cow. Therefore, we should go to the village elders and let them decide who the calf belongs to." So on the next day, all the elders got together, and the three of them were told to sort of give evidence on what they thought the truth was. So first it was the fox's turn to give his statement to the elders. And he said, "Well, once we are born, we only come to know ourselves or realize who we are after we grow up and after we are born. So we can't actually give witness to how we were born and to whom. Therefore, it's very difficult to decide who gave birth to who." Then it was the lion's turn, and he had to give his statement. And he says, "Well, the way of God is very strange, and it's not to us to question God's ways. So I think we should just accept whatever comes our way." Then it was the hyena's turn, and the hyena said, "Well, there is in a way a type of wild justice. Therefore, some mothers will not remain starved while other mothers eat to their full." So the elders talked about these statements. And they decided that the squirrel should be the decision maker. But the squirrel wasn't there. So they put off the meeting to another day. And on another day, again everybody was called. And again they were asked to give their testimonies. This time the fox said, "Well, nobody remains forever. Each generation will eventually die." Then it was the lion's turn. And he says, "A big part of life is luck. And sometimes we cannot survive without luck." And the third speaker was the hyena. And he said, "A satisfied man laughs without being tickled." But because the squirrel wasn't there, they still couldn't give a decision. So again the meeting was put off, and finally on the last day the squirrel came. And they were very angry, and they said, "Okay, why wouldn't you come to the last meetings? This is your obligation, your duty to be at such places." And the squirrel said, "Well, on the first day two mountains had a quarrel amongst them, so I had to go and reconcile them. And on the second day, I had to spend my time in the forest trying to separate the old dry trees from the young saplings. And on the third day, I didn't come because a stream was burning, so I had to put out the fire. Now the lion obviously became very angry, and he said, "Since when has can a stream burn? I'm going to kill him." But the seal said, "Wait, you know it's raining today. Look at the water on the left, at the rain on the left, and the rain on the right. Who do you think is going to drink this rain?" Now the lion looked to his left and looked to his right, and in the meantime he didn't see that the squirrel was going near a burrow, a hole. And as the squirrel jumped down the burrow, she said, "I'd rather die telling the truth than live with lies." And it's the cow that gave birth to the calf.